The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Go to am1260therock.com and click on the orange donate button.
The humanity of the priest is a bridge to encountering Christ and should not be a barrier. People always say, like, well, if you weren't a priest, what would you be doing? And I'm like, it's hard for me to think of anything other than what I'm doing.
That's what we're striving to discern, is what is God's plan, his dream, his will, his desire for me, where I'm going to be most fulfilled. And it really is through living a sacramental life that is absolutely going to support that.
When you're married, you have to realize it's not just you anymore. It's you and your wife and God.
If you desire to be truly happy, then your life should not be about you.
Welcome to God Calling, our locally produced program that explores the various vocations available to Catholics in all walks of life. Now here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
Thanks for joining us once again on God Calling. I am Paul Orlowski, the host, and we're joined this episode by Father Rob Ramser, priest since 2015 and currently the administrator at Our Lady of Angels, most friendly known on the West Side as OLA. Everybody knows OLA.
Absolutely. Good to be here, Paul.
Exactly. Father, where'd you grow up? And
grew up in the old Brooklyn neighborhood of Cleveland, going to St. Leo the Great. That was my home parish where I received most of my sacraments and went to grade school there. And then I went to Trinity High School in Garfield Heights. And the call to the priesthood kind of bubbled up in grade school through high school. Went to John Carroll for my undergrad in religious studies, and the call was still there. And I said, okay, Lord, I'll give you a shot. And seminary came and went, and
here
all those years later, I was ordained, yeah.
Yeah. A lot of priests that we talk to on the program kind of talk about how they're waiting for God to say, no, nah, I don't want you. And it gets stronger and stronger and stronger, the call.
Oh, absolutely. Probably about third, fourth grade, I started serving at Mass. And just something about the Mass and the priest and what was going on. And it was there, grade school, high school, college. I said, okay, I'll give it a shot. And good friend of mine was vocation director at the time, Father Michael Gernick, and
oh, sure.
He was a priest of St. Leo's when I was growing up, so I called him, and the rest is history, and here we are.
Yeah, I had to learn the Mass in Latin.
Well, so
I'm ancient, for sure. But I sense that same feeling. You felt like you were part of something very, very special.
Absolutely.
Each and every Mass. Every time it was the same.
Absolutely.
I would say. So tell me about your family practices. Mass every Sunday, every day, every...
Oh, yeah. Growing up, it was Mass every Sunday. The holidays were always celebrated with special solemnity. Growing up in mostly a Polish household, so Christmas and Easter and all the traditions, the special love for Our Lady. Both sets of grandparents had a great love for Mary, especially my grandmothers, God rest them both. And just was imbued of the faith is kind of part of who you were. You know, every weekend there was Mass at St. Leo's, and especially with serving and getting to be part of the parish decorating and things like that. And nothing overzealous. We, you know, wasn't a, you know, like praying the rosary on rice every night with the family, but we prayed together, and it was a good sense of the Lord's working in our lives. Mom and Dad, you know, worked very hard to put my sister and I through Catholic school, and you saw that dedication, and you saw that sacrifice. So you saw the Lord working in a lot of ways.
Certainly when I was growing up, the ethnicity, I went to a St. Anthony's. I don't look it, but I'm half Italian. But, you know, or the Polish neighborhood or the Irish. The church really, it was strong with that. And that's, I don't know if that's hard to overcome or that's some of why maybe fewer people are going to Mass. I don't have the answer. But that ethnicity was important back then.
I think so, because in an ethnic church, an ethnic family, the church is the center of it. And in an ethnic family, kind of faith is part and parcel with things. But there's also a beauty of bringing that into a parish like, you know, St. Leo's wasn't really an ethnic parish, but you had some of the Polish background, you had Italians, you had the Irish, you had the Slovaks. So you got a little bit of all of that, you know. And then later in life, prior around my college time, we switched parishes to St. Stanislaus. So that was like the hub of Polishness in the diocese.
That's for sure.
And you saw how really the Polish culture and Catholicism, along with many other cultures, it goes hand in hand. So it really helps have a love of church and culture go together, which I think is a very helpful thing because it helps you not take things for granted.
Before he was Pope, John Paul II was visited there, as, I think, a cardinal, right?
He was. It was his first visit to the U.S. It was the first church he had Mass at in the United States. And I was very honored when I had my first Mass there in 2015. I wore the same vestment he wore. The
no
parish
kidding.
Has it as a relic. So they have a lot
of... That's a heck of a relic.
Absolutely. So it really gave you chills to be able to wear the same thing that a future saint wore when he visited St. Stan's. Yep.
Yeah, I was down in the neighborhood just probably 5-6 years ago now. Some of the old neighbors, they've still got pictures when he was there and visited, and the neighborhood's changing for sure.
But some of those people were servers, and they were at that Mass, and it's still a point of great pride.
When you were at John Carroll, now, was that under the auspices of the diocese, or were you just a student there and then went to the
A student there. I was an undergrad. I went to John Carroll. I thought about going to Borromeo, the minor seminary. Wasn't for me. Talked to people, discern that. And I'm happy I went to John Carroll. I met a lot of good people, had a lot of good experiences, had a lot of good challenges in, you know, growing in my faith and be able to explain it. And really, it was a very good time in a lot of ways. And when I graduated from there, I said, okay, Lord, I either want to preach it or teach it. You know, mm-hmm. which one is going to be? Well, he took me in a direction that I can do both in the priesthood. But it was a very good experience being at John Carroll for the undergraduate time.
Yeah, I read a questionnaire that somebody had you fill out. I don't know. I found it online someplace. But then if you were not a priest, what would you want to be? A theology teacher.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you get to do both now.
Yep.
Exactly. When you got out of the seminary, first of all, before you leave the seminary, a lot of folks I talk to, priests that I talk to, really enjoy that year of internship. Finally getting out, talking to the people. Where were you sent?
I was at St. Christopher in Rocky River.
Beautiful parish.
And getting to work with Father John and Father Tim and the great people there. It really was putting into practice what you've learned. And it really helped you focus both theologically, if people had questions, but also pastorally. How do you deal with people in a multitude of situations? And a priest's day could go from 0 to 1,000 with a phone call. So to see how the priests worked with, they can go from a call about a capital campaign to a sick call to a business meeting to a parish council meeting to this or that. And it's all different things, but how are you present at all of them? So it was a really good opportunity to do that with the school too, getting to teach in the school and getting to know the kids and how to interact with them. It was a really good experience.
Yeah. We learned the hard way a couple of years back, 3 years ago when we started doing the show. Don't get a parish priest in the morning.
That's true.
Funerals.
Yep.
The worst enemy of the show, God calling. Father can't come today because, so we don't do that anymore. So we learned the hard way, as I say.
Sure.
Then, so is there another year? Were you in the seminary when there was another year where you were actually a deacon and then also went out?
Yes. So in my diaconate year, I was at St. Basil's, not too far from here, in Brecksville with Father Walt Jenny. And he was
big
excellent.
Parish.
Big parish, great priests, great people, and really learned a lot from the people there, from the clergy there, and I still finally call it a second home. Yeah. I keep in contact with families from there. You know, your first baptism, my first baptism was there, and some really good experiences, so
yeah.
It was good.
I left, I saw a picture of you online, you were making punchkes.
Absolutely.
But as a priest, next thing you know, you could be at St. Rocco's, you'd be making spaghetti and meatballs. Or
you never know where God's going to take you.
Father, stay with us. You're listening to God Calling on AM 1260 The Rock. I'm Paul Orlowski. We'll be back after these messages. Father Rob Ramser is our guest on God Calling. Father, we've got you up to almost ordination with your diaconate year. You were ordained. Where mm-hmm. do you go?
Yes, I was ordained in May of 2015 by Bishop Lennon. God rest him, he ordained me both a deacon and a priest. And funny story, when you go downtown to find out your assignments, you go meet with the bishop. And over in the cathedral rectory, there's another priest meeting with your pastors. So we go downtown, and we're sitting there with the bishop, and he gives us the envelopes, where are you going to go? And there are bets being made, you know, where are you going to go? And the seminary has fun traditions about it.
That's great.
And it was, you know, kind of get a little nervous. Well, we open the envelopes, and blew me away. I'm going to St. Ambrose in Brunswick. And you go over, and I meet Father Bob Steck.
Oh, yeah.
And we walk in, and the bishop's introducing us to all of our pastors. Father Bob gets right up, comes right over to me, welcome to St. Ambrose, and honest to God, it was a life-changing experience. It was a phenomenal first assignment. St. Ambrose is a city unto itself with phenomenal people yeah. and great things going on, and to be a little exposed to a little bit of everything with Father Bob's help and with the good people's help and the staff down there, it made me a much better priest, and it really helped form me into the priest I am today. Your first assignment is known in the priesthood as like your first love, and mm-hmm. you always have a special place in your heart for it. So the people of St. Ambrose always will have a special place in my heart, and it really was a phenomenal experience. Went by fast. 4 years flew by. So it was very, very good.
I teased Father Steck. I said, the bulletin down there is like a phone book.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
People don't know what a phone book is anymore, but you and I do. But it's a lot of activity. I gave a talk down there one time. Delightful folks, welcoming.
Absolutely.
Just a wonderful evening. We had a lot of fun.
Oh, excellent. Yeah. Wonderful people.
Where did you go after that?
After that, I was over at St. Angelo Merici up in Fairview Park. Again, great place. Father Michael Lanning. Great, great experiences there. Different. Parish had been around a little bit longer, so more kind of settled in more of a neighborhood over there on Lorraine. But great experiences. Cut short, though, was there 2 years. And then I got the call that St. Columbkill needed a priest. One of their priests was made a pastor. The other sadly passed away, and they were down to Father Suso. And I got the call to go there in January. And I went, and again, wonderful parish, learned a lot. Father Suso is a great guy, great people. Again, very settled parish, well-known parish. But then, come halfway through that assignment, I got the call that considered being a pastor. And I said, well, you know what, Lord, I think it's time, okay, and you know, I have a great devotion to Mary. Okay, Mary, I put in your hands, and who would have thought it, Our Lady of Angels was going to open up. And I was at Columbkill 6 months of the day.
That's it.
From being there in January, and then July 15th, over to Our Lady of Angels.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so you're officially an administrator now for a year?
Administrator. Any priest ordained under 10 years, they want you to make sure you can handle all the different plates that a pastor has to handle, the financial, the HR, the building stuff, the liturgy, the committees, and all that, and to make sure you really have a good grasp of it before you're made a pastor. Yeah.
I don't know if you have to take a bookkeeping course in the seminary. I wouldn't think so, but that's probably what all your experiences are, moving you around under the guidance of two
absolutely.
Of other priests.
All the passes I've had, you learn how to do that and learn how to handle things. And they do have a new course kind of for newbie priests of how to be a pastor. You went back to the seminary and you had to, you know, talk with people from HR backgrounds and finance backgrounds that kind of learn different things of what to do, what not to do. So they really try to make it as comfortable of a transition as possible, going from a vicar where you can always say, well, I have to ask the pastor, to now you being the guy that, you know, the
buck stops
at your desk. Yeah. So it's been good. Very good.
We talked to Eric Garris, Father Eric Garris, on one of the shows when he was first sent to St. Raphael's in Bay Village, which is a large parish.
Oh, yeah.
And he told us that he said, I couldn't even balance my checkbook, so I go to the first parish council meeting. He said, what are all those zeros? It can be an overwhelming experience, I would think. In that case. But so you're there. How are they acclimating to you and you to them?
Oh, and again, wonderful people. Salt of the earth. People of West Park. Still a lot of firefighters and police officers, and neighborhoods known for that. But there's a lot of young families moving in, and there's also a lot of very long-standing West Park families. And the parish is made up of a cross-section of people, and you really get a sense that they love their parish. We've been around for over 101 years now at Our Lady of Angels, and there's a great sense of ownership and love, and also wanting to see it grow. The school is really doing phenomenal under the guidance of our principal and the director of our preschool. Parish works well with the surrounding neighbors. We have the Poor Clares down the road. We have the CSJ sisters. We have St. Joe's Academy. So it's a great rapport we have with all the different pieces and parts. I found out it used to be known as the Little Vatican, Rocky River Drive, because you had the Franciscans, you had the Poor Clares, you had the CSJs, all kind of down the road from one another.
You go farther down, there's isn't there St. Anthony's down there? No. No, St. Patrick's.
St. Patrick's.
So a little farther down.
That whole stretch is kind of known as the Little Vatican.
Yeah.
And there's still a great sense of community between everybody. So I love seeing people like walk to Mass, mm-hmm. you know, and walking around the neighborhood and seeing people on their porches when the weather is nice. And it's just a really good close-knit feeling at the parish, and I've really learned a lot since being there. It really is an honor to be at OLA.
And it is a wonderful neighborhood, and you can go out and take a walk at dusk.
Absolutely.
No problems. It's safe, and you summed it up best, probably salt of the earth people.
Yep.
And a good foundation built by, we were off the air, we were talking about some of the previous pastors.
The Franciscans laid a great foundation, and then the first diocesan priest, Father Cregan, known very well, the chaplain of the police, really helped bring the parish from the Franciscan era, respecting that, building on that, to where they are now. So I really am on the shoulders of giants being at OLA.
I just read some of your reflections, heard one on the radio, as a matter of fact, on the air, about ordinary time. And it was just kind of a nice thought about that.
Sure.
You didn't just have come through it, but here we are.
Yeah, I mean, so here we are in this first official week of Ordinary Time. Christmas was the shortest Christmas season we could have, and now it's going numbered by numbered, you know, week one, week two, week three, and it's not just to get through it. It's a time of, in the ordinary moments of life, God is there. God is working. So it's in the reports being done for work. It's in the classes you're taking to school. It's in the drive here and there. It's in the shopping trip to the grocery store. God is working through all of it, through the ordinary, extraordinary things happen. And that's what Jesus is doing in the scriptures during this time. He's walking here and there. He's healing. He's eating. He's helping. He's forgiving. He's talking. All the ordinariness of life, Christ is showing us the work of the Father. So in these ordinary moments, we see the new life of God being brought to bloom.
Yeah, the first thing you think of is ordinary, blah
time. Yeah, plain,
but it's not.
Yep.
It's life. Father, stay right there. We're going to be back in just a minute or two after these messages on God Calling. You're listening to AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Father Rob Ramser, our guest on God Calling. I'm Paul Orlowski. Father, as we are getting ready to enter Lent here, again, I read something that you wrote about confession. Basically, you have this feeling that you're giving something up. Giving up something you like or something you shouldn't be doing or whatever. But it's just really more. We're cleansing ourselves.
Absolutely. We're cleansing ourselves and we're taking on something more. You know, so many people look at Lent as, what am I going to give up? Do I give up chocolate or alcohol or my favorite TV show, my favorite treat? It really, what do we need to gain? You know, what are we putting too much time into? And where do we need the Lord and His love and mercy to act more in our life? So in confession, it's not just, oh, I'm a terrible, you know, person and God forgive me. Well, you know, we've made mistakes, Lord, I need help, but I have so much more potential. Confession opens up our potential as sons and daughters of the Father adopted by baptism. And Lent's a season to really delve into that, to take a hard look at our life and see, okay, where is God a priority in my life? And where is God not? And how is that really affecting me and my relationships? So especially if you haven't been to confession in a while, I always say, you know, my record so far as a priest, somebody told me it's been 72 years. And they said, what do you got to say about that? And I said, well, welcome home. So whether it's been a month or 72 years, there's no shame in coming to the sacrament of confession. And as a priest, it is really an honor and privilege to be on the other side of that screen and to see the great holiness of people who want to better their life. So it's a really grace moment.
Sometimes the shame in confession is you're ashamed of what you did.
True.
Or haven't confessed or whatever it is. And
Well, shame to think, well, God can't forgive me. How can God love me? And God can't stop loving us. That's who God is. And that shame a lot of times doesn't come from the Lord. It comes from the one who wants to keep us from the Lord. You know, we bring it to Him and lay it on Him. And then we receive from Him what He wants to give us.
In my head, in the act of contrition, I firmly resolve with the help of thy grace. With the help of thy grace, I firmly resolve. Sometimes I kind of think that maybe it's for me, whatever. But it's cleansing. That's for darn sure.
Yep.
You have a great love of the rosary.
I do. You know, growing up, again, my family had a great devotion and love of Our Lady, especially with our Lady Częstochowa, the patroness of Poland. And then my grandmothers and so many of my family members were great daily prayers of the rosary. And you see how that rosary, sometimes it can be monotonous, like, oh my gosh, you started and went, oh, I got to do all this. But, you know, I've come to think of it as sitting on Mary's lap, looking at a picture book of the life of her son. And you enter into, especially we just ended all the joyful mysteries mm-hmm. with the nativity and with those moments. We're going to come up to the sorrowful mysteries even, and then the glorious with Easter. These are great moments of encounter and Our Lady's role in those moments, helping us to know her son's great love for us in his crucifixion, in the passion, in the ordinariness of preaching the kingdom, in the glory of the resurrection, in the beauty of the nativity. So putting it that way has helped me, even as a priest, sometimes, you know, we're going to pray, but our mind could be everywhere else but prayer, but taking a breath and saying, okay, Mary, help me be present. What do you want to bring to me as we walk this path together? So it really helps make the rosary a more grounded and beautiful experience, for me at least.
Yeah, from my childhood, a term that I never really liked, I'm going to say the rosary. Even pray, I'm going to say Mass, mm-hmm. as opposed to the way you put it, to pray it. Praying versus mm-hmm. saying prayers. I've said that many times in the show.
Oh, yeah, and it does make a big difference. I mean, you can say a lot of things. You know, you can say, I love you to your wife, but there's a way to say it and there's a way to pray it, you know. Mm-hmm. So, and it's sometimes tough because life gets busy. Life gets crazy, but it's like, okay, Lord, help me pray this, whether it be the Mass or the Rosary or anything we're going to do. Help me actually pray it and be present, because there's a lot more to be gained from it than just kind of saying it quickly and moving on.
Yeah. Now, this time you've got a school and you're in charge.
Absolutely.
You've got a great principal. Tell me about the kids today. What are you seeing in them?
You know, I'm seeing a lot of both hope. They really want to know Christ. They're excited about him. There's a lot of challenges that they face that even when I was growing up, and you know, I'm going to be 37 this year, that I didn't face, because technology plays a big part for good and for ill. It amazes me how many of the even, you know, third and fourth graders have cell phones and they're, you know, doing all that. So there's a lot of challenge of being cool, of being a part of this or part of that, mm-hmm. and here and there. And a lot of times, if there is anything going on in school with, you know, people making fun of one another, unfortunately, it gets carried home with technology. But there's a real want to move beyond that. There's a want of a real identity in these kids. And, you know, they know that their real identity is a son or daughter of God. And you really see that. And I've seen our alumni come back, even in my year and a half at OLA, thriving at the high schools they're going to, still want to be involved in the parish, and, you know, seeing them at Mass. So there is a lot of hope. There's a lot of hope in the kids today, and the kids, especially in the kids in the school. So we're excited about that.
Yeah. You have an affinity for St. Thomas.
Yes, I do. I've always had a kin to St. Thomas. You know, Thomas followed the Lord, and he was so strong at points. But then there were those moments as, you know, he's got that nickname, the Doubter, because he had that, you know, great question. And I think I do the same thing. You know, we're people of faith. I believe in you, Lord. But then when the really tough things hit or the impossible things hit and we don't understand it, we get flummoxed, we get flustered. But then what does Christ do? He doesn't come in screaming at Thomas or, you know, thunder and lightning. He says, come here. You know, put your hand in my wounds, you know, see the side mark and don't doubt but believe. So the Lord treats him with mercy. So I just got to remember that for myself in those moments I get flummoxed and anxious. It's Lord, you know, treat me with mercy because I doubt, but help me to, you know, have faith.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I did a little bit of homework here. If you could have lunch with Jesus, you talked about him being on the cross.
Yes. Yes. You know, to understand the depths of that kind of love and to understand what that washes away. One of my favorite things to do for people for Lent, especially they come to confession for penance, because a priest gave it to me. I can't remember where or who or when. He said, you know, put yourself at the cross. And who do you see? What's going on? What's the weather like? And as you look up to Christ on the cross, he looks down on you in love. Speak with him. Have a conversation with him. He said, let that be your penance. And that struck me like a ton of bricks.
Sure.
So, and that still is what I'll use with people today. And I think about it, you know, we have to have that conversation with Christ because he wants to tell us so much, even from the cross. So it's a powerful moment.
You're at Our Lady of Angels. You stream your Masses, I understand.
We do. We stream our 11 o'clock Mass every week and be found on our YouTube channel, Our Lady of Angels Cleveland, or on our website, and also special Masses throughout the year. And it's a great way to reach out to people and people to maybe find a new home at OLA.
Father, thanks for joining us. Father Rob Ramser.
Been my honor. Thanks for having me.
All right, folks, we hope you'll be here each and every week at this very same time, and we'll see you then.
Thank you for listening to God Calling. If you missed part of today's show, or you just want to hear it again, go to our website, am1260therock.com, and click on the On Demand tab. And remember, wherever you are in life, God is calling you.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Click on the orange donate button at am1260therock.com.